Imagine reaching out to turn a brass doorknob. You know, your fingers brush the cold metal and you feel that sudden, sharp little zap of static electricity.
Oh, yeah, especially in the winter.
Right. Now, what if I told you that shock wasn't just a physical property of electrons jumping between surfaces? What if instead that shock was actually the shadow of a microscopic particle vibrating violently inside a hidden microscopic fifth
I
dimension?
mean, it sounds completely like science fiction. It really does. But mathematically, that is one of the profound ways we can actually model reality.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we are breaking reality, or, well, at least the version of reality that most of us just take for granted. We're looking at this mind-bending thought experiment document today. It's titled Newton's Laws Across 10 Different Spacetimes.
And it is quite the document.
It really is.
Well,
Okay, let's unpack this because we all learn Newton's laws in school, right? An object in motion stays in motion. F equals ma. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
right. We treat them like the base code of the universe.
Exactly, like the absolute rules. But the source text proposes this really radical idea. It argues that these laws are just local customs. They're dictated entirely by the shape of our specific universe.
Yeah, and so our mission today is for you, the listener, to journey with us through 10 entirely different mathematical geometries of space-time.
It's basically a cosmic road trip.
Basically, yeah. We want to see how the fundamental rules of reality, things like inertia, forces, time itself, how they bend, break, or just completely rewrite themselves, depending on where you exist. And to anchor us, I want to introduce a quote from the source that will really serve as our compass for this deep dive.
Lay it on me.
The author writes, "In space-time, the geometry of existence shapes the laws of motion."
The geometry of existence shapes the laws of motion. Okay. Let's start with the familiar baseline from the text. Classical flat Euclidean space-time.
Right, the space we generally assume we live in on a daily basis.
Exactly. Here, space and time are absolute. There's no curvature at all. It's just perfectly flat. And Newton's standard F equals ma applies perfectly. Forces just add up as clean, neat little vectors in a 3D space.
It's very comforting, mathematically speaking. The stage is entirely passive. It doesn't interact with the actors on it. It just provides a grid for them to move across.
But then the text transitions, noting that this flat view is, well, it's a comforting illusion. It moves us to a curved rhyme in space-time, representing the general relativity limit.
Yeah, this is where classical physics has its first real identity crisis.
Definitely. The analogy I like to use here is instead of actors moving on a static stage, the stage itself is warping and stretching under their boots as they walk.
That's a great way to picture it.
But I have to ask you, and the text gets into this, how does a force like gravity completely disappear in this model? Because, you know, when I drop my keys on the floor, gravity feels incredibly real.
Oh, absolutely. But what's fascinating here is that the math of Riemann space removes gravity as an external pulling force entirely. It replaces it with topography.
Topography, like hills and valleys.
Exactly.
Now,
Matter tells geometry how to curve, and geometry tells matter how to move. So Newton's first law, an object in motion stays in motion, becomes what we call a geodesic.
a geodesic being the straightest possible path through a curved space.
Precisely. A freely falling body, like your dropped keys, isn't being pulled by some invisible tractor beam from the Earth. It's just coasting along the path of least resistance through a warped environment.
So it thinks it's moving in a perfectly straight line, but the space itself is bent toward the floor.
Right. And then Newton's second law, F equals ma, becomes the geodesic deviation equation. What you perceive as a force, like your stomach dropping on a roller coaster, emerges purely from the curvature of the space you're moving through.
Okay, wow.
Plus, the expert highlights a crucial detail from the text. Inertial mass equals gravitational mass.
That's the equivalence principle.
Yes. Because of that exact equivalence, local action reaction is essentially retired, and local energy momentum conservation takes over the steering wheel.
Okay, so Riemann space proves that if you put a heavy bowling ball on a trampoline, the resulting curve dictates the motion of the marbles. But that brings us to a massive thematic transition. If local mass bends the stage, what happens if we force the entire universe into extreme, constant geometric shapes?
We enter environments where human intuition becomes entirely useless.
First up is anti-de-Sitter space, or ADS. The text notes this space has a constant negative curvature and hyperbolic geometry. which apparently is huge in string theory.
It is incredibly important in theoretical physics, yeah.
The best analogy I could construct for ADS is like a massive frictionless cosmic state park.
Oh, I like that.
Because of the negative cosmological constant, objects naturally just fall toward the center.
Yeah, the text literally calls it a box-like gravitational potential. If you are a particle in an ADS universe, your geodesics, your natural paths of motion, either loop back on themselves, keeping you trapped, or they shoot outward and hit a conformal boundary at infinity.
Let's explain that boundary for the listener because it's wild. It's not a physical brick wall, right?
Yeah. No, not at all. It's a mathematical edge where spatial distance stretches to infinity, yet bizarrely, a beam of light can reach it in a finite amount of time.
Wait, really?
Yeah. As objects approach this boundary, the extreme warping causes them to be infinitely redshifted. Time and space distort so severely that the edge of the universe acts like an inescapable mirror.
So a universe with funhouse mirror walls, contrast that completely with the opposite extreme, De Sitter space or DS space, constant positive curvature, an expanding universe.
And the physical implications here are just staggering. In De Sitter space, there is no true concept of being at rest. Even if you're a completely isolated observer, you will exponentially accelerate away from any other observer.
Okay, wait. If there are zero forces, what is accelerating you?
The space-time itself is swelling. This introduces what is mathematically described in the text as Hubble drag.
Hubble drag.
Yeah, the effective force you experience includes the term subtracting your velocity multiplied by the Hubble parameter.
Oh, it's like trying to tread water in a pool, but the water itself is constantly multiplying between you and the edge. You're basically being pushed away by a cosmic wind.
Exactly. And because space is expanding outward faster than the speed of light at a certain distance, you get a cosmological horizon. And much like a black hole, this horizon constantly radiates energy, which is called Gibbons-Hawking radiation. Globally, energy isn't even conserved here.
A cold, expanding universe leaking radiation. And why should you, the listener, care about this highly abstract De Sitter space? Because the mathematics suggest our universe is asymptotically approaching this exact geometry.
That's the unsettling reality. As dark energy accelerates our expansion, we are mathematically heading toward becoming a pure De Sitter space.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If our universe is destined to become this isolating, expanding balloon, what exactly is our universe doing right now?
Right now, we operate within the FLRW universe. That's Friedman-Lemaitre-Robertson-Walker.
Quite the mouthful.
It is. But it's the standard cosmological model. It's expanding, like De Sitter space, but it's currently filled with matter and radiation.
Which makes Newton's laws incredibly messy. Because we have matter everywhere. We have gravity everywhere. Mm-hmm. In an FLRW universe, gravity is entirely non-local, right?
Right.
So the gravitational pull from every single galaxy, star, and speck of dust in the entire cosmos is acting on you sitting in your chair right now.
It echoes Mach's principle. The idea that the inertia of any one object is determined by the distribution of all matter in the universe.
But let's look at the alternative from the text, because this one genuinely made me stumble. The Milne universe, it's expanding just like ours, but it is 100% empty. Zero density. No Big Bang.
Nothing. Just empty space.
And I have to push back here. How can a universe expand if there is literally no energy driving the expansion and no matter to measure the expansion against? What is actually happening?
Yeah, it's a brilliant paradox. In the Milne universe, expansion is entirely kinematic. It's a coordinate effect.
Okay, break that down for me.
Sure. Imagine drawing dots on a flat sheet of rubber and then stretching the rubber. That's our universe. The space itself is driving the dots apart.
Ah.
Now imagine an empty, flat parking lot. A firework goes off, shooting debris in every direction. If you sit on one piece of debris, all the other pieces look like they are expanding away from you.
Oh, I see.
The space isn't stretching. The objects are just moving through flat space at different velocities. The Milne universe is like that empty parking lot.
So the expansion is just an illusion of perspective based on velocity, meaning in a totally empty universe, Newton's laws work flawlessly if you just apply basic special relativity corrections. There are no gravitational fields at all.
Precisely. It is weirdly well-behaved.
Which brings us to the macro model that behaves the least. The Gödel rotating universe.
This is peak cosmic weirdness.
It really is. In this model, the entire universe rotates. Not galaxies rotating within the universe. The fabric of reality itself is spinning.
And that spin creates a phenomenon called global frame dragging. A spinning universe literally drags space and time along with it, kind of like a spoon stirring thick honey. The concept of inertia is completely destroyed.
So if you want to be at rest in a Gödel universe,
you have to be rotating at the exact speed of the universe.
So standing perfectly still actually means you are spinning. And if you try to walk in a straight line,
you'll be deflected. Because everything is rotating, a massive Coriolis force emerges everywhere. Even in an absolute vacuum, a thrown baseball would curve violently as the rotating space-time pushes against it.
But the Coriolis effect is just a warm-up. Let's get to the true madness of the Gödel universe.
This raises an important question about causality itself. In physics, we rely on light cones' mathematical maps of what a beam of light can reach. This defines what events can possibly cause other events. Cause must precede effect.
Right. If I throw a rock, the window breaks after the rock leaves my hand, not before.
But in the Gödel universe, the extreme frame dragging from the universal rotation actually tips those light cones on their sides. If you travel far enough and fast enough, the light cone tips so far, it points into the past. It allows for closed, time-like curves.
Literal time travel.
Yes. You could mathematically leave a point in space, travel forward in your own local time, and arrive back at the exact point in space and time where you started. Action and reaction are no longer chronological.
Wait, so your future mass could exert a gravitational pull on your past self?
Exactly.
You could throw a rock, the window breaks, and then you decide whether or not to throw it. It just proves that causality isn't a fundamental law. It's just a byproduct of a universe that happens not to be spinning.
It's mind-boggling.
Okay, we've looked at the vast macrogeometries, but space-time also warps violently on microscopic scales, or right in front of us in dimensions we can't even see.
Let's start with the extreme local warping. Schwarzschild spacetime. This is the geometry immediately surrounding a non-rotating black hole.
This is where the event horizon lives. And what's wild is how deceptive this geometry is from a distance. If an asteroid is orbiting a black hole from far away, the math looks remarkably similar to classical Newtonian physics. But it's a trap.
It is entirely a trap that looks like a classical orbit, but it's actually a geodesic driven by immense spatial curvature. And that illusion of stability completely shatters at a precise mathematical boundary.
When the orbital radius shrinks past a certain point.
Right, when it's less than 6 times the gravitational constant times mass divided by the speed of light squared.
At that point, there are absolutely no stable circular orbits, period. You are spiraling in. And I have to bring up this visceral detail from the text, spaghettification. Explain the tidal forces at play here.
Well, a tidal force is just the difference in gravitational pull across a distance. On Earth, gravity pulls your feet marginally harder than your head, but it's negligible.
Right, we don't feel it.
But near a Schwarzschild event horizon, the curvature of space becomes so severe that the difference in pull between your feet and your head becomes practically infinite. The geometry physically stretches objects into single streams of atoms.
Wow. And because the escape velocity at the horizon requires you to move faster than the speed of light, no action at a distance can happen. Mm-hmm. If I'm falling in, I cannot send a signal, a force, or even a photon outward to you. I am completely causally severed from the rest of the universe.
It is the ultimate one-way street. The geometry swallows the physics entirely.
So what does this all mean when we start looking beyond the 4 dimensions we currently inhabit? That brings us to Kaluza-Klein space. And this takes us back to that static shock I mentioned at the very beginning of the episode.
Kaluza-Klein is such a beautiful piece of theoretical architecture. It takes our standard 4-dimensional space-time 3 of space, 1 of time, and suggests there is a 5th dimension.
But we can't see it.
Right, because it's compactified. It's curled up so tightly at the microscopic Planck scale that we simply can't perceive it. Imagine looking at a garden hose from a mile away. It looks like a 1D line. Only when you get close do you see it has a circular circumference.
So we live inside a 5-dimensional cylinder, but how does an invisible, curled-up dimension create a static shock?
Because motion in that hidden 5th dimension operates like a harmonic oscillator. Think of a weight attached to a heavy spring. If you pull it, the spring exerts a restoring force, pulling it back. In Kaluza-Klein space, a particle might be moving purely in that 5th dimension. But because we can't see it, we don't perceive it as spatial movement.
We perceive it as a property of the particle.
Precisely. The momentum of a particle in that hidden 5th dimension manifests in our 4D world as electrical charge. The geometry of that curled up space acts as the restoring force, basically unifying gravity and electromagnetism.
So when you get a static shock, you are interacting with particles vibrating in a direction you physically cannot point to. That is just stunning. Electricity is just the shadow of 5D geometry. Okay, we've gone massive. We've seen spinning time travel. We've added hidden dimensions. But we have one final frontier. We need to zoom past the black holes down to the absolute smallest possible scale of existence.
We are entering quantum foam space-time.
The Planck scale. We are talking 1.6 times 10 to the negative 35th meters. At this level, the smooth, trampolining fabric of space-time we've been talking about isn't smooth anymore.
No, it becomes aggressively granular. The topology of space and time is constantly, violently fluctuating.
The best analogy here isn't zooming in on a digital photo to see the pixels. It's more like a raging, boiling ocean.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, from an airplane, the ocean looks like a flat, smooth blue mirror. But if you drop down into it, it's a chaotic mess of crashing waves and sea spray. You cannot track the trajectory of a single drop of water. So if position is that chaotic, how do Newton's laws function in this boiling foam?
The simple answer is they don't, at least not classically. In quantum foam, motion is fundamentally probabilistic. You cannot roll a billiard ball from point A to point B. A path doesn't even exist.
You just have to calculate a sum over all possible histories.
Exactly. Every conceivable route the particle could have taken, all happening simultaneously.
So Newton's first law, an object moving in a straight line, is completely meaningless because straight lines don't exist in a boiling ocean.
Exactly. And Newton's second law, F equals ma, is undermined by the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. At this scale, even if absolutely zero external force is applied, a particle's position and momentum are inherently fuzzy. The geometry literally won't allow it to just sit still.
And the third law, every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Replaced by entangled quantum pairs. In our macroscopic world, if two cars crash, the forces balance out upon impact. In quantum foam, particles pop into and out of existence, interacting through entanglement. Point by point, action does not equal reaction. The books only balance out to zero when you zoom out and sum over the entire chaotic field of fluctuations.
So at the absolute foundational level of our universe, determinism is dead. Causality, action, reaction, none of it is a fundamental rule. It is all emergent.
Yes. Cause and effect only exist when you zoom out far enough for the boiling ocean to look like a smooth blue mirror again. Underneath, it is just probabilistic chaos.
Okay, so let me try to synthesize this incredible journey for everyone. We started with the flat, reliable comfort of classical Euclidean space.
Life and easy.
Right. Then we saw mass warp the floorboards with Riemann space. We built trapped cosmic state parks in anti-De Sitter space. And we got blown apart by the cosmic wind in De Sitter space.
And don't forget the causality-breaking spin of Gödel.
Oh, absolutely. Where twisting light tones mean your future self can impact your past self. We stretched classical orbits until they snapped at a Schwarzschild black hole. We found electrical charges vibrating as harmonic oscillators in the hidden fifth dimension of Kaluza-Klein space.
A very busy trip.
It was. And finally, we dissolved completely into the probabilistic, non-deterministic boiling ocean of quantum foam. It makes one thing abundantly clear. Newton's rigid laws are 100% at the mercy of the space-time they inhabit.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really validates that guiding quote we started with. The geometry of existence shapes the laws of motion. Whether it's Hubble drag pushing galaxies apart, Coriolis forces twisting baseballs, or hidden dimensions generating static shocks, the environment defines the rules. Understanding physics isn't just about memorizing the rules of the game. It's fundamentally about understanding the shape of the board you are playing on.
The shape of the board. And that brings me to a final thought I want to leave you, the listener, with today. Something to mull over as you go about your comfortably macroscopic four-dimensional day. We discussed earlier that the mathematics indicate our specific universe is asymptotically approaching De Sitter space. We are actively heading toward a geometry where exponential divergence, cosmic expansion, and Hubble drag take over completely. So, if the fundamental laws of motion are dictated entirely by the shape of the universe, and our universe's shape is actively changing to become De Sitter space, does that mean the physical laws we rely on right now have a built-in cosmic expiration date?
That is a profound and honestly deeply humbling realization. The rules are really only as permanent as the space they occupy.
The billiard table isn't just warping, it's actively dissolving. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the geometry of reality. Stay curious out there.